always time, because with time, and it's the one thing you can't get back. I can make more money. That's actually easy, but I can't get back my time.
Mm-mm.
And so how I use my time, how we decide that we're going to leverage our time and leverage everyone else's time around us, all of that is really, really important.
Welcome to the Get Real Podcast. Your high-octane boost of full-on reality therapy for personal, business, and investing success with your host, Ron Phillips, because somebody's got to tell it like it is.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Get Real Podcast. I'm Ron Phillips, and I am actually like right here with Heather Martin. I don't know if you get, if anybody who's actually watching this knows now that we are in the same place. This is not like in a superimposed image of
it's true.
Heather, she's in my office.
Sitting in your office.
I mean, right here. which is really cool. We've, I think in the past little bit, we've talked about your
trip.
RV trip, which is really cool. I got to zoom out because if anybody's watching this, they're going to be like, what the heck, Ron? You keep moving out of the picture. Okay. So we've had tons of fun this week.
Yeah, it's a blast. I love this city. So fun. And the beach has been amazing.
Yes. Yes. It's my happy place. The beach is fantastic. So we are going to do a show, maybe two, who knows?
Yeah.
We don't know what we're going to do, but
any number.
We are here today and we're going to talk about some really cool stuff like we always do. We're going to do it sitting next to each other. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And we may talk about some of the stuff we've done this week because it's just a lot of fun. I mean, yep. Heather and I have been up to North Carolina, hung out a little bit, looked at properties.
Which is super fun. We have a lot of fun doing that. I think we looked at each other at the end of the day and said, man, why? I think I said, like, why is this so fun?
I know.
Work shouldn't be this fun.
We get paid to do this. It's ridiculous. So anyway, we've been kicking around the idea of doing a series. Because we've had so many questions about what we do, how it works. And, you know, if you go back all the way to episode one and then you listen to all of them, I think you could probably piece some of it together. And then there's probably a whole bunch that's still left out. And since we've gotten so many questions like that, I think what we're going to do is just try really hard to cram a lot of information into, I don't know, what do you think? Maybe 10 episodes or?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll play it by ear, but we're going to do a series. And starting the following week, we're actually going to do a couple of shows a week.
So get ready. It's going to be more of like an intensive, almost like a course,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So.
And bonus, the extra one is a bonus, but we're not going to do that forever. So don't get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a little bit, right? So what is that? About 5 weeks,
yeah,
something like that. Okay. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. Let's get out of the way, the normal stuff, right? Obviously like, share us, do all that fun stuff, but let's get into this because this is going to be a lot of fun.
And this would be a great time to share this with other people who are interested in rental properties or interested in some growth of net worth, things like that, so that you can do the challenge together. Because we will be doing some homework assignments, so to speak, in between episodes so that you can kind of walk through it with us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And this all starts with some of what I kind of started this whole podcast with, which is vision. And man, Heather, we've talked about this a bunch.
Yeah.
I talked about it a bunch with Angela. I talked about it with Sean McCloskey. Obviously, this is a big deal.
Yep.
Otherwise, we wouldn't talk about it as much as we do. But it is a big deal. And
we almost cut it out. And I said, no, I really think it's important because, I mean, we have talked about it so much that sometimes you think it goes without saying that it's a little redundant. But on this, it feels like it sets the right stage.
Yeah. And since we're kind of starting from the beginning and just going to go burn through this, we figured maybe we would just cover it again. So vision, you need a clear understanding. You need the ability to push back past fear. And all of that comes through this vision.
Yes.
Right. So clear understanding. We've also talked about the compound effect ad nauseum here. But the Compound Effect, which is an incredible book, everybody should go get if you don't have it yet. I've talked about it a million times. You should go get it. Okay.
Yep. By Darren Hardy.
Darren Hardy. Awesome book. At this point, Darren should be paying me for selling his book. I tell everybody about the Compound Effect. It's a fantastic book. So once you've read that and you understand the concept basically is that the compound effect is working all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It works either for you, works against you. One of the two always happens, you know, so you get to, and the cool thing is you get to choose whether it's working for you or for working against you. And the way you choose is your actions. It's what you do, what you decide to do. So from that comes some questions, you know, can we, so Heather, can we create time?
Definitely.
Yes, we can. Heather's created all kinds of time. She's out working and on vacation and home, you know, not homeschooling. Yeah, I guess it is homeschooling. RV schooling.
Yeah, RV schooling. Road
RV schooling. And how do you do that? How do you create time out of, we all have the same 24 hours, so how do we create extra time, people? Well, we need to ask different questions, right? We need to ask powerful questions. The powerful questions are, how can I do X, Y, Z? How can I do whatever it is that I want to do? And how can I leverage the use of the compound effect in so doing?
Yeah. I mean, I this whole RV trip that we've been on, there's a million and one reasons why we couldn't do it and why it made no sense to do it. But Ron has taught me a lot, and I've learned a lot from him about focusing on how to make things happen that you want to do, rather than all of the conditions and things you place upon yourself of the reasons you shouldn't or can't or wouldn't want to or whatever. We've had a lot of people in our lives tell us we're crazy. So I think...
And I potentially am. But in spite of that, if you ask powerful questions, you really can do things that most people tell you that you can't or tell you that you're crazy for even thinking that you can do, right?
Yeah.
So it's crap in, you get crap out, right? So if you put crap in your brain, you're going to get crap out. If you ask crappy questions, you're going to get crappy answers. That's just the way it works, okay? And it's the little things that matter. It's the little things compounded over time that matters. And if you guys have ever seen a compound curve, what you realize is that it's flat for what seems like forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it just takes off. It just goes crazy. And, you know, we've talked about the penny a day thing. And I mean, Heather, we're looking at the screen. Yeah. We can tell what the
it's
penny
really
a day is.
It's really lame at first.
I mean, it's one penny, then two pennies, then four pennies, then eight pennies, 16, 32, 64. By day eight, we finally have over a dollar.
Yeah. Then it's like, oh, I think I'm getting excited. Not really. Still
and if
not.
You keep showing people this information for, you know, well, it doesn't even start to get even remotely exciting until like day 20. And at day 20, you've got like $5,000.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're still thinking, what in the world? Like, and then if you put this into like quarters or something like that, it's even worse, you know? But on day 30, you have $5,368,709.
It's like life-changing.
The curve just goes, it spikes at the end. Someone once told me that it's always at the end of the second mile. You've heard the phrase, go the second mile.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked me when it was that you actually start to get the blessings from going the second mile.
Yeah.
And everybody naturally thinks, well, as soon as you start the second mile, as soon as you're going the second mile, right? But it's not. It's actually at the end of the second mile is when they're actually coming, which is kind of the same concept. And man, it's important. The other thing that's really important to know about this whole thing is taxation.
Yeah. Kills you.
What's the difference, Heather, between 30 days of no tax and 30 days with just a 35% tax?
So it just stagnates the growth. So you have only $20,278 if you save that, if you double a penny a day for 30 days, but you tax it at 35%.
So. Every day, right? Yeah. So if all of your gain is taxed, it cuts off almost all of your gain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the biggest portion of it, right? So it's important that we figure out how to not be taxed as much as possible, or pay our fair share is another way to say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really critical that we do that. The other thing that's really, really important is that we learn how to use all the tools at our disposal. So that's one of the ways we can compound, right? If we can figure out how to use the tax laws just like they were built and put into place to do, then we can leverage the tax laws into helping create more wealth.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff we teach our clients, I have had clients say to me multiple times, like, how come I don't know about this stuff? How come I've never heard how to save on my taxes? You know, so because it's so helpful for your growth. So
it's actually critical. You cannot get ahead if you're paying tax every single time. And that just shows you the power of the compound effect working against you. That is the compound effect working against you, right? And somebody else is getting all of that money, and it's the government, right?
Yeah.
And then they piss it away and do all kinds of stupid things with it. So that's a whole other podcast I've contemplated several times starting. So we want to leverage as much as we can possibly leverage. And, you know, one of the things that I love about real estate, which, you know, Heather and I both love, and it has proven by her trip, is that real estate gives time. And the reason it does is because it's out there making money while we're doing whatever it is we're doing, right?
Yeah.
RVing, sleeping, whatever it is, it's still making money. It makes money all the time.
Yeah, because my RV payment is made from my rental properties. Mm-hmm. So I'm not out any of my own money. So it's not rocket science, you guys. It's just kind of taking a step back and looking at things a little differently, maybe.
Right. So this clear understanding that we've been talking about, this is really important, because without understanding time, money, both of those things will master you. And you can see this in maybe in your life, but certainly in other lives of others around you. You can see that people getting completely brutalized by time and by money. And usually they go hand in hand. You don't have any money, that you don't have any time, because you're constantly trying to get money. And if you don't have any time, well, then, you know, you can't make any more money unless you've got a little bit of time that you can put into investments, which create more money while you're sleeping, right? That's the whole point of this. So you've got to figure out how to be a good steward of what you've been given, what you've earned, what you've received. But what is your most valuable asset?
Man, your time.
Always time, because with time and with, it's the one thing you can't get back.
Yep.
I can make more money. That's actually easy, but I can't get back my time. And so how I use my time, how we decide that we're going to leverage our time and leverage everyone else's time around us, all of that is really, really important. So some questions that we all need to ask ourselves is, you know, what are ways we can actually use leverage in our lives? So one is time. And I guess I keep saying leverage time, but I'm not sure we've actually ever said, like, what does that mean? Like, how do we leverage time?
Yeah, I'm like, so for me, the way I leverage my time is one way, I guess, is by having my assets performing for me so that I'm not trading hours for dollars, right? So I have financed properties that I have a down payment on, and my cash flow comes in. And so I'm not having to trade my time for that income.
Right. So work once.
Yep.
Get paid forever.
Yep.
And that's one way that you can leverage time. Another way you can leverage time is you can use, if everyone is working in their genius zone, you've leveraged time. For instance, how should I say this? If I'm not good at a certain thing, but I'm trying constantly to do it, it doesn't make much sense for me to continue to do that, right? Because someone else is better at it than me. And if they can do it, they've done in a shorter amount of time with better work quality what I could do in two or three times the amount of time. And so I've bought back time.
Yeah.
And what have they done? They've done the same thing because if they were trying to do something that's not in their wheelhouse, so we're complementing each other.
Yeah.
And if we could all buy in together, we've all magnified our time. We've created time by just leveraging everyone else's assets, their time, their talents, and pooling them together so that we can create a better work product in less time.
Yeah. I mean, I just hired a bookkeeper because I said to my husband, I said, I can't keep doing this anymore with doing my own. I'm wasting so much time because I'm having to learn and figure out a lot of taxation stuff. And I hate it, number one, and I'm not very good at it. I've made a couple mistakes, number two. And so I just decided just barely, I'm like, why didn't I do that a year ago? Yeah.
They are bookkeep. God bless all the bookkeepers out there. If you're listening, because I just don't, I mean, can I do it? Can you do it, mm-hmm. Heather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but I'll figure it out. I almost have is the funny part that I'm moving to hire someone once I've figured it out, but I've also added the hours I've spent and gone, well, what am I thinking?
I could have made so much more money. Yeah. The crazy thing is it for the bookkeepers, mm-hmm. they can actually make more money doing our stuff too. Mm-hmm. It's a symbiotic thing, right? Because they are better at it, which means they can do more of it, which if we give it to them, they can make more money. And if we do what we're doing, we can make more money doing what we do. It's the same thing, right? Yep. And I think a lot of people get this screwed around in our heads where somehow if we're leveraging the talents and the time of other people, that we're taking advantage of them. I would submit to you that if you called my bookkeeper and asked her if we were taking advantage of them, they would say, no, send us more business. We refer tons of people to them and they've never complained about it. So it's a really sad way to look at things, to suggest that utilizing everyone's talents and everyone's time to their maximum capacity so that we can all do more and create extra time is somehow selfish. It's it's a really backwards way to think about it. But people out there do think of it that way.
Yeah, I agree.
I think people are taking advantage of other people.
And you can hire people in your business, you know, hire more people so that you have less work to do. Not necessarily that you can't do it, like we said, just hiring people in within your business in order.
Yeah, and just because I say something that's I say I can make more money not doing that thing, it doesn't mean that that thing doesn't need to get done. And it doesn't mean that that thing is less important than what I do. Mm-hmm. It just means that what I'm doing that's in my specific genius zone, I'm just really good at that. And I should spend my time doing that.
Yeah.
Someone else who's really good at bookkeeping, like our bookkeeper, they spend their time doing what they're really, really good at.
Yep.
And they're happy doing it, right? I am not happy when I have to do bookkeeping. No. Okay, so we flogged that one really good. So one of these things is really important, I think, that people miss, especially because of how we're taught with investments, just normal investments, is the rule of 72 and what a really good return actually is. So there's this really cool rule called the rule of 72, and it's the simplest thing in the world. It's
like
remarkable.
A math law, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's remarkable that it works.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. It's how you figure out how long it takes to double your investment. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, stupid, easy. So all you do is you take the rate of return, so let's call it 3%, and you divide it into 72, and you get 24, and that's how many years it takes to double your money. Compounded.
Yeah, I wish I understood how that math works, because I love math, but... Yeah.
So if you're out there and you want to learn how it works, I'm sure there's some YouTube videos about it. I really don't care. All I know is that it works and it's the easiest calculation on the planet. So the cool thing about this is if you can picture this in your head, at 3% interest, it takes 24 years to double your money. That's a long time. At 8%, which is not that much more. It's not that much more. It only takes 9 years. At 20%, it takes 3.6 years. So how important is it that you get closer to 20% than 3%? I think we throw these numbers out there because, you know, people talk about them, but nobody actually ever really thinks through why they're so important. Mm-hmm. The reason they're so important is because this is a way to buy time.
Yep.
I mean, if you're stuck at 3%, you're going to take 24 years to double your money. You want to buy some time, get a better return.
Yep. It's not hard.
Double your money. Right? It's so critically important, and yet it's so obviously and tragically overlooked.
Yeah.
Right? Another thing that is probably even more overlooked is just personal financial statements.
Yeah, where you're at.
Now, well, I say that, how many people even know what that is? What are personal financial statements?
Yeah.
And how many of you out there have actually done them?
I've only done one recently myself, like in the last 6 months for a loan, actually. So
we've been teaching this now for a long time, long time. And so many of our clients have said, my gosh, that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Talked to a client and she said, man, this was mind blowing and eye opening for us. Because they didn't realize what their real net worth was.
Yeah.
It was so much more than they thought it was. And it's just because they hadn't actually sit down because they've been working so hard. They hadn't actually sat down to see really what it was.
Yeah. I think a lot of life is that way where you're spending and trading hours for dollars till you wake up and go, oh, where am I at? Because like, I've just been so busy trading hours for dollars. I don't even know what happened.
This is crazy. So personal financial statements are income statements and balance sheets. Mm-hmm. And we could probably do a whole. We may do a whole episode on income statements and balance sheets, but this is really, really important. As a matter of fact, in the show notes of the next episode, we'll put it in this one too. We're going to put a link to where you can download an Excel version of a personal financial statement.
Yeah, because it's really helpful. And sometimes you don't even know the terms. And honestly, most of the terms in the personal financial statement, you can actually pop into Google and mm-hmm. put define colon and then the term, and you'll get how it's calculated and what it is. So if you don't know, if you don't know, it's actually right out there online because personal financial statements are everywhere. But it's surprising as you're working how quick you can accumulate wealth, but also have it not working for you really well. So having a clear understanding of where you're at, I don't know how many people I talk to and our clients, I'll say, hey, what is your balance in your retirement account? And they say, I have no idea.
Looked at it for
years.
It's just sitting there, right? Doing whatever it's doing.
I'm like, give me an idea, just a general. And they still don't know.
No.
So
how much equity do you have in your house? No clue.
Yep. No idea.
How much money do you have in your checking account? They usually know that one. But what's in savings? You know, what's in all the rest of your accounts? Oh, I forgot about that one from my previous employer. I do have a 401k. It's still at the company. You gotta be kidding me. So what we're saying is it's impossible to know how long it's going to take to get where you're going, even if you create this great vision, mm-hmm. unless you know where you're starting. So financially speaking, it is impossible to create a vision and a plan to get the vision without knowing where you're starting. This is like one of the critical starting pieces.
Yes.
Right. So we talk about vision a lot. And the next piece of the vision is to place dollars. If you guys remember, and if you want a more in-depth how to get the vision, I mean, I did two episodes with Sean McCloskey. You should just go back mm-hmm. and listen to those.
That's true.
But one of the things we say on there is you have to take each one of those pieces of the vision. You have to place a dollar amount to them. You have to mm-hmm. place a price tag so that you understand what it's going to cost to be able to live your vision. Right? Yeah. And you did that for your RV trip. You
know exactly what. And I think since I've been here, I've been talking to Ron saying, well, what did it cost for you to put in your pool? Right. I don't know if you knew my wheels spinning over here because I want a pool and I've told my husband that I want a pool. So I'm like, okay, well, what do I need? How do I get a pool in my life?
Yeah. I mean, and goodness, your kids have had so much fun.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been fun watching them play in the pool. So all of those things, if you put a price tag to those things, then you know exactly how much it's going to cost to live your vision. And if you know where you're starting now, you know what the delta is. And we can make a plan to mm-hmm. to bridge the delta, right? But you can't do that unless you have a clear understanding of where you are. So personal financial statements are a critical piece to this. In addition, every single bank is going to want to see your personal financial statement anyway.
Yeah.
They may not call it that. They may say, fill out this app, but that's what they're doing. They're mm-hmm. creating personal financial statements on you. That's what
And right
doing.
Now with COVID, all business owners are required to send in a personal financial statement, even for a conventional loan, which I've done conventional loans in the past and I haven't had to fill one out. So you can just get ahead of the game and have it filled out already.
Yep. So the next piece of this is just to get past your fear, to push past your fear, right? Mm-hmm. Fear is debilitating. It's something that just all of us feel it. I mean, some people think that, you know, some people just don't have fear. Then that's not true. I mean, it's just absolutely not true. But one of the things that I learned at church is where fear and doubt are, faith is not.
Yep. You can't have it there.
they don't exist together, mm-hmm. right? So if you say you have faith and you hang out in fear, well, you don't, because yep. fear and doubt do not exist where faith is, right? So you've got to figure out, we've all got to figure out how we push past the fear. I think it begins with knowledge.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean,
and you can take some knowledge to help you push through to faith, right? When you're sitting in fear, a lot of the people I work with, it's just a conversation. In fact, I had a conversation with a couple the other night where she said, my husband's really scared about buying outside of where we live. And so we got on the phone and it was maybe a 20, 25 minute conversation. And I just said, well, here's what we do to help mitigate some of that fear. And here's how you can mitigate that fear. Because if you sit in fear, you don't think outside the box. Oh, you don't.
People think they're sitting in one place. You're not.
Yeah.
You're actually going backwards because the compound effect is moving against you.
Yes.
So what does that do? It actually compounds your fear. It makes you more afraid. This is really funny. I was going to say this, but it just popped in my head. I mean, we were out on the boat.
Yeah.
And it's funny to watch the kids.
Yeah.
Because we're in the middle of this. Well, I mean, it's really the ocean. They call it a river, but it's the ocean. We're almost in the harbor, right? And the kids want to jump out of the boat. Well, one of them wants to jump out of the boat constantly. And the other ones are a little bit more, you know, showing a little more trepidation about jumping in, and they need a little more information about what was in the water, right? Are the sharks here or, you know, do they play
alligators,
a little somewhere else?
Yeah.
Like what else, what is in this water? But once they understood that there wasn't anything in the water that was going to hurt them.
Yeah.
They were able to get in the water.
From a source they trust, right?
Yes. Yeah. They're very important. Yeah. Very important. Yeah.
Because anyone.
Why the hell they trusted me, I don't know, but they did.
Well, you live here and my kids really respect you. So, but it's my twins, ironically. So they're the same age, different genders, but my daughter was fearlessly jumping in the water over and over. Didn't even ask and didn't really care. You know,
thank God she asked before we stopped. I'm like, no, you don't jump out of the boat while we're moving.
Snap Baywatch.
I think she would, though. I think she has absolutely no fear.
Yeah, she probably would.
About that. I just said people do have, she has fear of other things, but not jumping out of the boat, apparently. I think applied knowledge also just crushes fear. So when he got in the water after applying the knowledge he just got, he realized, okay, nothing's killing me.
Yes.
So I'm good.
Yeah. There's nothing here. There's no fins.
And then we had no problem. Yep. Every time we stopped, everybody's in the water.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. But you have to apply the knowledge. You can't just go get the knowledge and then do nothing. You have to actually do something with it.
Yeah.
Confidence is the precursor to action, right? So we just talked about that. If you get knowledge from a source that you trust, you're probably more apt to do something, to act on the knowledge that you've been given. And that's confidence.
Yeah.
Right. It's the precursor to action. But anyone who can act, so your daughter, anybody who can act in spite of the fear, it just speeds up the process.
Yeah, totally.
That's all it does, right?
She has a lot more fun too, is the funny part. In their personalities, she has all the fun because he lives in fear for a week, you know, and she's had that whole week to get good at something. You know, she's a fantastic skier because of that. So it's kind of the same principle of just getting in the game and not sitting in fear.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, now we've talked about knowledge. We've talked about fear. And now is the vision piece, right?
Yep.
So you guys, we talked about this a ton. So I'm going to go through it really quick. But you're living a vision right now. The question is, whose vision is it that you're living? I mean, are you living your boss's vision? Are you living? Whose vision are you living? You're living somebody's. Yep. And if you haven't planned it out, I can promise you one thing. It isn't yours. Okay?
Yeah.
So vision, that helps you focus. And if you have focus and you understand what your delta is and the plan that you're going after, my gosh, that.
It's exciting.
Well, and it creates freedom.
Yeah.
That's what it's what you're experiencing right now. Freedom to do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. I mean, you guys literally are talking about, well, I don't know. How long should we stay here?
Yeah.
I don't know. How long do you want to stay here? Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Kids are loving the beach. So we stay an extra couple days.
It's really, really cool to have that type of freedom where you can just do what you want, when you want, with whom you want.
Yeah.
Because if Heather gets sick of me, we can
stay
here and do whatever she wants, or she can leave. It doesn't even make any difference. Right.
Yeah.
So that's freedom. With whom you want, when you want, how you want, and really with very little
conditions.
Bumper rails.
Yeah,
conditions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we talked this through. You define where you are, right? You define where you're going with your vision. You create this plan.
And write it.
Write it down.
Yeah.
And then you just.
Yep. How do I make it possible?
Then you just ask yourself powerful questions and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I think the clarity that comes from having the vision and the clarity that comes from the knowledge of where you are and what the plan is, even for the most detail-oriented personalities out there, mm-hmm. that is something that gives the ability to just knock down walls.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think one thing I love about creating a vision is also looking and making action, an action plan, right? So Ron was saying, take action. And I think the invitation in this is, what are you going to do in the next 30 days? Like, define something. What's going to happen in the next 30 days that you can tackle, even if it's small, but it's pushing you toward your vision.
So. Yeah. Because we just talked about the compound effect. That's mm-hmm. That is basically a culmination mm-hmm. of a whole bunch of little things that you've done that any of us have done, right?
Yeah.
It's not, I always bring this back to exercise because it's so, because all of us see
it's easy. Yeah.
You can see what happens to people if they choose the wrong path mm-hmm. with health.
Yep.
It's visible. And, you know, a lot of times you can't see with financial, and a lot of times you can't see with people because you don't know what people's visions are. You can't mm-hmm. really see whether they're living their vision, but you can always see if they're being unhealthy. Mm-hmm. It's all over them and all around them, right? So eating crappy today doesn't hurt me today. Eating crappy today shows up next year.
Yep.
Because if I eat crappy all year, I will look completely different next year.
Yeah, because the compound effect,
yep.
right?
Yep. Yep. But this week, I won't be able to see anything. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing positively, right? So negatively, I won't be able to see anything. And if I start working out this week, I'm not going to see anything on Friday. It's just not going to happen, right? If I start on Monday, by Friday, I look in the mirror, I'm going to look exactly the same.
Yep.
Yep. Except for me really sore, probably really tired.
You might be able to tell by the way he's walking.
Yeah. But a year later, anybody who hasn't seen me for a year won't recognize me. Yeah. Even 6 months. But a year, it will be staggering, and everybody will think that I just somehow showed up that way.
Yeah.
And I just,
you got so lucky.
Why do you even go to the gym? You're so fit. Oh no, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Right.
Yep.
People go, well, why do you work so hard? You already have so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of those things, they compound over time, and then they end up either in your vision or you living someone else's. That's the way it works. And that's the simplest way I could possibly put it.
Yeah.
And so I love Heather's question. I mean, this is kind of like a workshop kind of a series that we're going to do here. And so your homework is to download the personal financial statement.
Yep.
And fill it out. And don't get hung up if you don't understand the term. If you don't understand the term, you can Google it. But most everything in there is pretty self-explanatory. Yep. If you don't know what the term is, you probably don't have it, whatever it is, right? But most everything in there are assets that you would have heard of. And if you haven't heard of them, then you probably don't have them, right? Yep. So don't worry about it. And the one that we're going to put out there, it's pretty cool. I mean, it adds everything up for you. It subtracts everything out for you. It's pretty simple. It's the one I use for the banks. So I know it works. Mm-hmm. They tend to like it. So do that, right? So we want to make sure if you haven't done your vision yet, you need to sit down and do that.
Write it out.
Yeah, definitely write it down. Then we're going to assign cost to it mm-hmm. so that you know where you are and where you want to go.
Yeah.
And you understand what the delta is, mm-hmm. right? And then we can craft a plan, and we're going to help with some financial pieces throughout this, just sharing with you guys what that can look like. Mm-hmm. And then I love what Heather said. It's what is the massive action you're going to take in the next 30 days that's going to move the football?
Yes. And it doesn't have to be anything massive. When we say massive action, it just means that you're maybe getting out of your comfort zone for a minute, right? So just not
like what's massive action? It's actually looking at this personal financial statement, which may hurt your head.
Yeah.
And just barreling through the hurt in your head and making it happen. For some people, that can be a massive action, right?
Yep.
Because it's not in your wheelhouse and it's hard to do and maybe you don't understand it very well. We'll maybe do a little bonus section or mm-hmm. something on it so you guys can understand it. But and by the way, we really appreciate you guys listening to the show.
Yeah.
The only reason we're doing this series is because from the feedback that we get from you guys. So we really appreciate that. We appreciate the feedback. We appreciate you guys listening so much. We had a really big increase in listenership. We know that's because you guys are sharing, you know, as we ask every single week that you share it and that you give us a written, you know, just honest feedback about the show.
Yeah.
But we'd love for you to do that. So please continue to do that because it shapes the show and what you guys, because this really is all about you guys. We just want to, you know, give you guys what you need. Okay.
It's really fun.
It is. It's a blast. So this is kind of the first episode, so to speak, of the series, even though we're going to start the actual series next week, where there's going to be two a week. So this week, get your homework done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we're going to use everything we're talking about right now in the show, you know, throughout the rest of these. And so,
yeah, they all build on each other. So don't skip the homework.
It's really important. You have to have your personal financial statement done. You really need your vision done. I say done. You need it at least started. Mm-hmm. You need to have something there, right? That you can put some price tags on, your wants, your, you know, whatever it is, right? And then we can move forward. We can actually help you start to, just like we do our clients, we can help you start to build some action plan that's going to work.
Get the momentum going, the pendulum swinging. Yep.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. We're super pumped about doing it. And then we'll go back to regular programming after we get done, after we're done with this. And, you know, hopefully you guys will find an enormous amount of value in this stuff we've been sharing in pieces for years. And so we're just going to put it all together kind of in a
make it more fluid.
Yeah. In an edible version, I guess. All right, guys. So if you like the show, like us, give us a big thumbs up. Obviously, we've been asking forever. Really appreciate it. Our reviews have really taken off the last few months. So we appreciate you guys doing written reviews for us. If you haven't yet, give us an honest review. You've listened to this one, and that means you have an opinion. So get on iTunes and put your opinion in writing, good, bad, or ugly. All right, guys?
Yep.
We really appreciate it. Our website is rpcinvest.com. It stands for RP Capital.
Yep. And if the email, if in case you get stuck in any portion of this, please send us an email at invest@rpcinvest.com. Mm-hmm.
And if you're stuck, that means probably somebody else is stuck. So you sending in your stuckness will help us realize what we need to help you guys out with a little bit more. So, okay. Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Until next time, get out there and make something happen.
This has been the Get Real Podcast. To subscribe and for more information, including a list of all episodes, go to GetRealEstateSuccess.com.